Let's just dive in. Good peoples, welcome back to your transatlantic bridge connecting Stockholm, Sweden to Harlem, USA. That is the United States of America. This here, my dear peoples, is this moment with myself, Jason Timbuktu Diakite. Most of the days I rap, and my dear brother, co-host with the utmost, Chef Marcus Samuelson. All right, Marcus, I'm really excited about this one. Let's dive in. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. It's late summer, early fall, which means that it's probably already fall in Sweden. And this late summer vibe, right before it goes into, right that week when Labor Day comes in and it's officially sort of the fall season, it's my favorite time in New York City.
It's like the city's waking back up, right? After Labor Day, theaters are opening, and especially now.
But it's even like it starts right before that. It starts with the U.S. Open, which is a massive, massive undertaking for the city, right? So people come from all over the world, right? And then you take the train out to Queens, and it's like back and forth.
Yeah, is that like the
and
only
then Fashion Week?
Is that the only time of year that you take the subway, Marcus?
No.
I had to call you out, brother.
I am the opposite. You'd be on the train. I am Mr. Right. Subway because I love it. That's where I get all my street vibes, graffiti, all of that stuff.
True.
It starts with that.
U.S. and Open and then Fashion Week.
And Fashion Week. And this year is obviously very different because we haven't been outside for a long time. U.S. Open last year had no audience. And Broadway is also back, right? So you have these three channels. So Broadway being back, U.S. Open happening. And, of course, with that, this year for me, it was very different with the Met Gala. Doing the food, being responsible for the food at the Met Gala. Okay. The three worlds coming together.
All right. Let's talk about it, right? Because I've lived in New York. We would always hear about, the Met Gala's tonight. But, as a mere mortal, right? You could only dream about going to the Met Gala. First of all, everybody is there. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody is there. Like, how does it feel when you step out of your car? Because I'm guessing you didn't take the subway to that one. How does it feel when you step out of your car onto the red carpet heading up to the Metropolitan Museum?
I even want to back up. When I got the request to do the food for it, there was two things really that I wanted to work with Miss Anna Wintour, but also Condé Nast with. It was two things. I felt this is a statement piece, so let's make sure we do it all plant-based, which has never been done before, right? I feel like that's
that means vegan, right? That means no animal.
Yep.
Like nothing animal.
No animal
in
protein,
any of the dishes.
Nothing. So all plant-based, and then on top of it, let's make an inclusive, because this year's theme was Americana, America, right? And I felt let's make an inclusive dinner. So that meant for me working together with 10 other New York chefs, some of them famous, some of them not, but just really celebrating us. We had a Persian American chef. She's absolutely amazing.
So basically, what you're saying, the dinner is a posse cut, like to put it in rap terms. You have all these 10 different stars, big or small. And first of all, how do you make a big team like that work?
Well, there was a lot of logistics, a lot of planning that would not have happened without an amazing catering firm, Oliver Chang, but also the logistics, because it's still during COVID, so it's only X amount of people allowed in the kitchen and all of these different things. But I had the most fun, and I have to say, big shout out to the Condé's and Vogue's team, because boom, they really allowed us to say, there's never been a collaboration. There's never been that. The food
is
just
What were you saying? Dropped. Shout out to what team?
The Condé Nast team that allowed me to do this, to this crazy, and Vogue that made this happen and broadcasted these stories, right? So each chef went on Instagram and that on Vogue's Instagram to tell their story and got over a million views, right?
Wow.
That's game changing for that chef.
Crazy.
You know?
But tell me, Marcus, walk me through, not all of them, though. Are we talking to each chef does their own dish or did you collaborate and do certain dishes together?
Yeah, we collaborated.
So walk me through some of the dishes that were created for this Met Gala 2021.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, there's a long sort of cocktail hour, right? Because mm-hmm. all the celebs got to walk that carpet.
Yeah, got to roll so, in, know, get so their pictures taken.
Yes.
Yeah. Deal with their outfits and stuff.
Yeah, definitely talk about deal with their outfit, which is probably my favorite time because it's actually the time where you can walk around and meet and, you know, and I and so then after that, it's the logistics of 450 guests sitting down and the meal's got to be served. So, you know, it was very under before Justin Bieber performs or whoever it was, you know, like it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, we served like, for example, like we had this beautiful, beautiful sort of rolls that was all, you know, we had this roasted cabbage taco, like a taquito with roasted cabbage, for example. Mm-hmm. We had collard greens, you know, but it was all done in hors d'oeuvre cocktail styles when, you know, and the cocktail hour was amazing. Like, you know, one of the first person I talked to was David Byrne from Talking Heads because he was, you know, he's such a, and then I had a chance to speak to Mary J. Blige, Elon Musk. I was talking to him about a bunch of stuff.
And these are your homies. And of course, like, you know, you got Mary J. and Elon on speed dial. I know it, man.
No, I don't. But it was cool. It was cool.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My favorite conversations was with two people, was with Chance the Rapper and his wife. We were talking about Donda. We were talking about Kanye's album. So that was a lot of fun speaking to Chance with that. And then sitting down with Yara from Blackish, you know, because she has a dual, you know, being Persian and being Black and really having a conversation around that.
And she seems extremely bright and intelligent, like very on point. I heard her on a podcast before just talking about activism. And I'm like, whoa, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I wanted to do it plant-based, because the ambassadors this year was Amanda Gorman, Naomi Osaka, and Billie Eilish. You know, young people, I was like, let's make a statement. Let's make something what the future, present future is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And speaking to Amanda Gorman about it, she was very, very excited that the fact that it was plant-based, you know, and it was something that she looked forward to. And one of the cutest moments is that, you know, when the dinner, after the dinner is served, Alicia Keys sets up for the after party somewhere. And Alicia and I in the back, we're talking about our kids. We just stand in the back talking about our kids. And, you know, it was just moments like that that was just like humanized the whole experience. You know, it's a party that you can only dream of in terms of the production and everything.
Yeah, and just the outfits that people are stepping onto this red carpet with are like out of this world, man. Like people stepping in blankets. I saw Kim Kardashian and Kanye stepped in some like black, like Ghostface Killer type ninja, totally covering suits and shit. ASAP Rocky rolled in some type of quilt, but you know, it's crazy to see where people take expression when it comes to fashion and how they try to tell a story with what they're wearing. So I saw a super fly picture of you on Instagram. Take us through your outfit, Marcus.
Well, I mean, it is a moment to take statements, right? And for me, I thought, first of all, my wife and Maya and Stacy helped me with this. But, you know, I want to represent where I live. So I wore Dapper Dan, you know, suit. But then also, I always want to represent Sweden and Ethiopia.
Marcus, like you wearing Dapper Dan is also a statement about, that's also like Americana. That's You know, that's hip hop, the roots of hip hop fashion, which then has become now commercial and big corporate fashion.
Yeah.
He was there. And it's maybe untold or unsung, in a sense, hero of American fashion. So big up, man.
Absolutely.
My hat is off to you for repping Dapper Dan on the red carpet at the Met Gala.
Yeah. And then I actually brought in, the hats were made by these two twins from Atlanta, Calvin and Alvin, that make this dope hat. I had this belt and shirt from Ethiopia, Mafi Mafi. I wore Swedish happy socks. Swedish got my Sweden with a happy sock.
You get it all in, man. And then, this is what, you know... Yeah, sorry. Go for the last one.
No, I mean, it was just fun to have this moment. But even before
because I know there was one more piece. You were wearing an apron. Tell me about the apron.
Yeah, the apron was an Ethiopian sort of piece that I felt like, let's do it like an elegant chef apron. So the undertone was really doing like a chef apron, but having it done by this incredible designer from Ethiopia. So my wife and Stacy, we had stuff from all over, but we had fun doing it. And this is a statement piece. I only took one selfie, and it was actually for you, Jason. Meeting all of these incredible people, speaking to V and Serena, speaking to everybody. I was like, listen, I'm not going to take any selfies. I just need to do one selfie. So I was there with Leon Bridges, and I said, yo, I need to document this moment because one of my best friends, he got a daughter, Maxi Priest, and it's all because of you. So, Jason, how did you meet your partner?
Well, so I'm sitting at the corner of 120th Street and Lenox Avenue eating a late dinner or just eating dinner. And I texted you. I was like, yo, Marcus, I'm right around the corner from your house. You want to swing by? I'm having a bite. You're like, yeah, I'll come by. But I can't stay because my wife is sick. But we were supposed to go to a concert today, and I have two tickets, and I want you to go. It's at the Apollo, and it starts in half an hour. And 5 minutes later, we're off the phone. 5 minutes later, you're there. You're like, boom, here are the tickets. All right, you got to go see. It's a young artist. He's from Texas. His name is Leon Bridges. You got to see it. And, you know, you're my brother. I'm like, well, if Marcus says I got to see this, I got to see this. Now, a few days before, I had met a Swedish woman at a bar in New York, and we had been talking, la la la. She had just moved to New York, and she's like, yo, I'm living on the Upper East Side. I really need to get out of this Upper East Side bubble. If you know of any concerts going down, let me know. So I'm like, boom, I just got two tickets. Concert starts in 30 minutes. And I was like, right, that girl that I met the other day. I shoot her a message. I'm like, yo, I got two concert tickets. It's to an artist that I have no idea who it is. And the concert starts in 22 minutes. Are you down? She's like, I'm coming. And
that's so cool.
We're in the Apollo. It's full of people. I step in and Leon Bridges is already singing. And I could tell like, yo, okay, yeah, Marcus was right. It's like, it's so, you talk about Americana, the music that Leon was making at the time and the music that is really his like creative core is like, it's rhythm and blues, but it's also gospel. It's like deep, deep American roots music, you know, black American roots music. Shout out to our homie, Fantastic Negrito. You know, who reps that black American roots music. But that's what Leon is doing. And then, you know, this girl steps in and the concert is already happening. And when Leon plays his track River, which is this beautiful, beautiful ballad, you know, like a tear, you know, tears come to my eyes when I hear that, you know. And it's really, you know, the theme of the lyrics are like timeless African-American lyrics talking about the River Jordan. And it's both biblical, but also worldly. She stood up out of her chair and her arms were just crossed in front of her, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, OK, yeah, I could just tell that it's there. She loves this. I mean, how couldn't she? And afterwards, there was an after party at Red Rooster. I was like, yo, you wanna step over to my friend's restaurant, you know, the after party for the concert. She did. We had a glass of wine, talked, and She and I are the parents of a beautiful child now. You know, a couple of years later, it's really bugged out, Marcus. I got to thank you, and so I got to thank Leon Bridges. You know, that's yeah, it's so love that's making music, man.
No, it's beautiful. The story is beautiful. So out of all of them, like they put me at a really nice table. There was like all of these stuff happening, right? And I was like, no. I'm only going to take one selfie. I saw Leon Bridges.
Yeah, because that's
over
not really the spot where you want to take selfies. Like,
no. And I'm not even like, you know, everybody's there. Everybody's doing different things. And I'm not, you know, I know most of those people not super well, but I know them, right? Mm-hmm. So I walk over to Leon. It's like, we took this shot of like, we've taken this picture. And I was like, we got to send it to Jason. I think I sent it to you. It's like the middle of the night for you.
Yes,
like,
I woke up in the morning, Marcus. I woke up at like 7 o'clock in the morning and boom, picture of Leon, yes. Who was also looking fly. And like, I also where Texas. Leon takes it, where he takes it like fashion wise, I think it's really dope. He's got his own lane that's kind of like Texas, like black cowboy, but also like retro. It's just dope. So both of you in beautiful hats, and I'm like, oof, there he is. Yeah, it put a smile on my face, and I was like, boy, I got to get back to New York soon, man. I got to get back soon.
But
Marcus, but still, talk me through I didn't know that it was a sit-down dinner. Like, how do you get those 450, like some of the most, like honestly, the most famous people on earth to like sit down at the same time and break bread?
It was really, really hard, but we got them down. We got them in the room. And then our first course was a salad, late summer, you know, early fall salad, like roasted squash salad that I worked together with this dope Ethiopian woman, Chef Ferial, she's incredible. So we did a salad together, cucumber, watermelon, tomatoes, and added in tons of berberine in there. That was the first course of a sit down. And then right after that came the main entrees, which was we did like a barley risotto, because, you know, all with like beautiful herbs. Then we did like this zucchini, and the dishes just kept coming because I'm like, there's no way to serve a traditional courses here because people are not going to sit down because everyone is jumping and talking to each other, right? And then so we had tomato and corn on the plate. We had tons of zucchini on the plate. We had fried mushrooms on the plate. We had this beautiful sort of fermented, sort of like you have to kind of like disguise the food rather than talk about it and just lands on the plate. Beautiful, just plant-based entrees. And then after that, we have this apple mousse with chocolate apple mousse. And these are some of the most incredible chefs.
That's a Swedish vibe right there, apple mousse, you know?
Yeah. And in the end, their gift was these donuts. These like, you know, because you know it's a long night. It starts at 5:30 and it goes to like long night. So we had these donuts so they get some guilty pleasures on the way out.
So but how do you make donuts with that, like plant-based donuts?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you just got to make sure that the fat is not butter. And, you know, there's a lot of different oils that you can use for it. And I love this challenge. That was the challenge, right? I remember every big dinner like this, it's an opportunity to evolve the conversation. And we got so much feedback because it was plant-based and also evolve chefs in a year like this when chefs have had a really difficult time, it was important to broadcast and highlight these chefs. And they're impeccable. Yeah. They're incredible. And so, it was fun. It was amazing.
So you mentioned Justin Bieber performed. Were there any other performances? Like,
he had a hood on the whole time. Oh, like he never took his hood off. So you couldn't see that it was him, but you knew the songs and stuff like that. So and then right after Justin, it was DJ Nice that did the that was spinning.
Shout out Boogie Down Productions. So obviously he's playing a lot of hip hop up in there.
Yes. And right before Justin, it was all Broadway. It was Broadway because the party really talks about, you know, Broadway, which people don't understand, right? Mm. Broadway brings in $12 billion a year to New York City from tourists, from ticket sales, from all of that. So once Broadway's back, New York City culture is really, really back. Yeah. So biggest performer was really by this incredible Broadway artist that was absolutely impeccable. And I just sat in this room and I was like, talk about privilege. Now it's like you appreciate where you're at. Yeah. Look at this production. Yeah. I was responsible of the food. And then you have the music, and then you have Broadway, and then you have the DJ, and you have the clothing. It took thousands of people to produce this. And I was like, wow, this is one of those nights that's actually incredible. I will never forget it.
But also I want to say that one of my favorite rooms in New York City, or one of my favorite buildings in New York City, is the Metropolitan Museum. You know, despite what, you know, I mean, we all know it contains a lot of artifacts plundered mainly from the Middle East and from Africa and from South America and from indigenous peoples all across the world. And so a lot of it has ugly stories behind it. But at the same time, I can't help but just, you know, I become a kid again every time I step in the Metropolitan Museum. Mm. It's absolutely my favorite museum in New York City. And I always go, you know, 2-3 times a season. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It was one of those nights, and I was just very, very excited. Mm. And the chefs were excited to be there with the guys that you celebrated and planned this for hours and hours. That, for me, was the biggest moment. And just like, okay, we're back. City is back now. Now, officially, Broadway is back. Fashion is back. Food is back. Okay, let's go. New York, here we go. As difficult as it is, because we're still in the pandemic, right? Mm. We still are. But it's still, as people, we got to turn the light. No, shit ain't over, but we got to turn the lights back on. And
exactly.
We did it. And we
exactly. Doing it. All right, so Marcus, drop me into your conversation with, you know, Chance the Rapper is, I would say, of the young... the younger generations of rappers is one of my absolute favorites, one that I respect a lot, and who also is bringing, I mean, he's really the one who I see bringing gospel-based hip-hop, like gospel samples, into hip-hop. He produced the track Ultralight Beams for Kanye's Life of Pablo album, which I really see as, and it was after that that Kanye started Sunday Service and really took gospel-sampled and gospel-inspired hip-hop to the level that we see at Donda. So that's a conversation I'd love to hear about, like, what did Chance say about Donda? What did he say about the album? What were y'all talking about?
First of all, Chance is one of the coolest people on earth, right? He's low key, he's Chance the Rapper. People are coming up to him, but he's chilled. He's there with his wife, and, you know, he's repping Chicago in his clothing and he's doing all of that. He has his hat on. He doesn't change, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when we start,
because that cap really never comes off. Like,
No, it didn't come off. So when we started talking about the music, we started really talk about it. I was like, I really appreciate the album. It took me a couple of listens. Mm. If anything, maybe it's too long. Maybe we didn't need all 26. Yeah. And then he jumps in, and I love that. And just like, no, you know, Love Below was 30 songs. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? So I just love, as an artist, he was, like, we talked about which songs we liked, and we went back and forth. But, you know, he is, for me, an embodiment of cool, right? He stepped into that room. He's there with his wife. Some of the celebs are like, you know, they don't talk to, you know, like, I was there with my cooks. I wanted to introduce the cooks, the chefs. Yeah. And he's cool. Yeah, he's cool. He's like, talks
to
everybody.
And that's for down me, to it's earth just is like, what I'm getting.
Down to earth. Yeah. And he was just, you know, we were just going back and forth. And you know, I just appreciated it. And as an artist, he appreciated it. And we just had a good conversation.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
And so what are your feelings now that you've, you know, now that you've been blasting Donda for a couple of days, now that you dug into it, what kind of emotions does it awaken? What are some tracks that you've like listened extra much to, you know, because Kanye is this super complex artist, right? And just to... just before we dig into it, I also want to tell all our listeners that me and one of the hip hop elder statesmen of Sweden, a man that's the most knowledgeable about hip hop and black music that I know in Sweden, Nathan Hammelberg, we did a whole epic conversation on Donda, which will be coming out shortly.
Love that.
But you mean,
love
but
that.
I mean, you speak of like complexities as a human, complexities as an artist. Kanye has shown us like his most ugly sides, but he's also made some of the most beautiful headbanging and body moving music. Like, what were some of the feelings that you went through when listening to Donda?
Well, as somebody that loves pop culture, I love when I get a homework like that. Right. That's right. I look at this as when major artists, you know, if Kendrick would drop or Kanye will drop. You know, that's homework to me. Like, mm-hmm. I want to go through it. What is it mm-hmm. saying? What are they trying to see? What are they trying to tell? I put political, I put all of that because I think artists should be complex. Artists should yeah, be controversial because
absolutely.
It's part of, you know what I mean? Like, without Sly and Family Stone, without Prince, without all of this, you know, it wouldn't be as sticky. So I love mm-hmm. that. Like, I'm sure, like, Jean-Michel Basquiat was hella controversial. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So
man.
I love, I can compartmentalize, right? I was deeply offended when Kanye runs around with a red hat and at that in the building screaming and shouting, but I also think there's some beautiful music on it, and I, you know, first calling the album Donda, you know, a love letter to his mother, right? And I think there are some songs that are incredible. Sometimes he does this thing where he has version one and version two.
Exactly.
So I would say this. For me, the album feels like a sketchbook, right?
Yep.
And I do that in cooking too. I lay out 30 things, but then I have to edit. Mm. And I have to have another counter person in there that I really respect. It's like, no, we're cutting this. We're not doing that. So it's very sketchbook at me. And some of the songs are not new. Like Hurricane has been out for years. You know, you can find it on different...
All right,
it's been dropped. It's been pulled back. So a lot of these songs, I've heard them, and they've been leaked, right? So you know that this has been in the making for a long time. But I think Hurricane is a good song. I love Jail, like the first version. I think it's a very important message in there. But I also love the gospel
tracks.
Of the gospel tracks are beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're spiritual.
Yeah.
And, you know, so... you know, if the album would have been 12 songs and 4 to 6 hidden songs, it probably would have been an easier listen. But I also think that this is kind of in a moment of NFT and where we're kind of trying to figure out art. And I think he wanted to launch 26. I think it reminds me the most of when Lauryn Hill did the sort of like the unplugged album when she did like long songs that were like 13, 14 minutes and stuff like that, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And I happen to love that album, but that album wasn't commercially hit at all. But it was very important in the culture
monumental piece of work.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times have people not...
And that was a double album, too, with like 24, 26 yeah. tracks, something like that. Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that's what this album is. I mean, this is the first Kanye album in a couple of years that has that cultural impact kind of vibe. And I guess a lot of it is due to the way that he promotes and markets it and builds up this, you know, with these a stadium kind of mass events, which makes it kind of a global cultural event when the album actually drops. And then, you know, I'll just also chalk up this. There's so many things that I still don't understand about Kanye, and that's okay, you know, but that's a part of the art. And he's kind of immersed himself in that because like Kanye and his music are two separate things, but they're very inseparable, you know. And that's where that complexity is, just as we are a very complex human being, but also one that is prone to kind of almost, I mean, he's one of the most honest artists out there. I mean, he has throughout his career, the past, what, about 20 years, been like not hesitated to show his ugly sides, you know. I mean, he's shown, whether you like that or whether you agree with it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many things I don't agree with, but that's on him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can still take the art at for what it is and what it does to me when I listen to it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it reminds me a little bit, if I would draw a parallel, you got to realize Kanye's in his 40s, right? And it reminds me a little bit, in weird ways, about Michael and Prince. So in their 20s, they write hits, huge hits, global hits, whether it's like Billie Jean or Purple Rain. And think about Kanye's in the 20s. He wrote incredible hits that becomes anthems, right? Whether he wrote them for other people, for Jay, or whether he pushed them out himself. And then you think about Michael and Prince in their 30s. There was different type of music coming out, still highly produced, still incredible music. And in their 40s too, but not maybe global hits, but they were just doing their music. And Kanye, for me, you can tell, like, he can make a banger at any given time. He's that talented, right? He has that level of, like, that once in a billion type of talent that people grow up. Here it's not about that. This reminds me of an NFT. He wants to put up thoughts, music, this is where I'm at, take it or leave it. And it's almost like when Miles Davis performed and he turns his back to the audience. I feel there's a little bit of that in here. Like, it's a lot of that, actually. And as a receiver of that, I appreciate it. When I go into I'm running or I'm sitting on a plane, I don't need to hear a song that needs to be at a club. There's not a lot of club bangers in here, but there are incredible songs in here, like pretty absolutely. Songs like The absolutely. Moon, for example.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorites, Pure Souls or Keep My Spirit Alive. And in the Monster episode, in the episode that me and Nathan did, we really dig in track by track. So I won't get into all of my thoughts on it. But
what's your favorite? Give me your three.
My favorite verse on the album is from Jesus Lord. And that's a verse by Jay Electronica, who's really, you know, who's like a god MC, you know. When it really comes down to the nuts and bolts of like rapping, you know, and I think his verse also kind of embodies the whole, it embodies something. So that's what I love about rap music, what Jay Electronica does. So that's definitely, that's my favorite verse on the album. I would say.
And for us that doesn't understand that, tell me what is, like, you would just boil it down. You were right there. Tell me, what should we look for? What should we listen to?
It's what moves you. But to me, it's content and flow, you know, it's content flow and kind of the effortlessness, and just like how he breezes through. Wait, I'm about to bring up the lyrics so I can give you how he just breezes through like deep, content. He says, let me see here. Here we go. I never rode the GSXR or the R6 or the Honda, but I flew my Ducati through North America like Wakanda. Earthquakes will strike this nation for what Bush did to Rwanda, what the Clintons did to Haiti and Downing Street did to Ghana. You know, I'm Tepoztlan, they call me Terremoto, El Negro Loco.
Wait.
it's relentless.
So that line, I've been thinking about that line because I think the reference points are off there, right?
Yeah. It's there all of a sudden.
Being an
MC means using like your paints that you're using, your nuances and your shades that you're using have to be from politics to, you know, he's talking about cars or, you know, the GSXR, the R6 or the Honda. But I guess maybe they're motorcycles because then he talks about he rides Ducati. It's like embodying or it's incorporating popular culture, peripheral knowledge, but also history. And that's and
yes.
You know.
No, but my only knock on that is that Bush was in Rwanda. That was Clinton's time. That was the only thing. I love that line, but it's like the reference point is a little bit off year-wise. But I don't
Yeah. I didn't catch that, actually, but you're right.
Oh, I caught that hard.
Oh, you're right.
Like, I love the rhyme. Yes.
You're right. You're
that
right.
That wasn't Bush,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So, but, you know, F it.
Because Rwanda was in the 90s, you know. Anyway.
And I'll say, you know, Bush Sr. Yeah, you're right. It's not really, Bush is a little off there.
No, that's all Clinton area. It's 94, 95. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I love that line too.
Yeah.
When we
get
that,
Jay Electronico on the podcast, we got to ask him about that one. But there's poetic license.
It's poetic license, and also it could have been stuffed in the aftermath, right?
Then there's also so much shit that he talks about, and it's always been like this with rappers. Like one of my favorite MCs, MF Doom, like half the time I don't know what he's talking about, and I love that. That's the mystery.
Yeah.
But then towards the end of the verse, Jay Electronica is like, my bars is like the pyramid temples of Pakal Voltan. As sure as the DOJ confirmed Ezekiel's wheel, I could change the world like Yakub with two pieces is a steal. It's like, but I don't know Ezekiel's wheel, Pakal Voltan, and like I don't even know what happened with Yakub and the two pieces of steel. But you know, because I'm not deep enough in my scripture. But I love it, man, and it comes down to
I love it
the aesthetic, but also it opens because it makes you wonder. So like all of a sudden I'm Googling Ezekiel's wheel, and I'm so then I'm learning some things
You're
at the
there.
Same time. A lot of the things I know, I don't know a lot, but a lot of the things I know, I'd say a pretty fair share of what I know is shit that I learned from listening to rap music. Then, of course, rap music has always been contained a lot of venom and toxicity, you know, and Kanye's album is, you know, like what Nathan and I talk about, it is. Like it really paints the picture of like how masculinity is like toxic masculinity is a problem in the world today and has been for millennia, and how ego driven the entertainment industry has become and so forth. So it opens up to a lot of discussions, but it's still just one. Still just one human being.
I love what took away Kanye, because using his platform, I mean, thinking about it, just one platform like Spotify, you know, Kanye has 55 million people coming every month to that, right?
To check his
So
shit,
through
yeah.
these songs, places in the world, right, will hear gospel and hip hop for the first time, for example. And that's telling something about the deep layers where gospel and church represent in not just the black community, but in American way. And I just think that how he mashes that up, it's beautiful to me.
No, it's really bringing that to the world again, you know, bringing it to a new generation, you know. That's the one controversial. I won't go that controversial. Anyway, you know, Kanye West is bringing a lot of spins to a lot of platforms, and I mean he's one human being, but there's a whole industry around it, and it's also, you know, the impact of his latest album. I mean, how many people globally were talking about it? If you rewind to 1973. You know, hip hop is almost turning 50 years old. You rewind to 1973 or 1983 or even 1993. hip hop was still a subculture, which was basically followed by a handful of people worldwide. There were a handful of MCs. There were a handful of ways to dress and be and speak and live hip hop. And today, this is, you know, the Donda album is just the latest of many testimonies to the fact that hip hop is the biggest pop cultural force on earth, 2021, and it has been for many years, you know.
And to celebrate that, I think actually in a couple of years, there's going to be a hip hop museum here in the Bronx, which I can't wait to walk with you. So your new favorite museum in New York City will be the hip hop museum. That. See, please, let's make that
happen. That's an opening that I need you to put me as your plus one. Yes. I need to be your plus one, Marcus. You got to plus one me on the hip hop museum,
one.
Bro. DJ Kool Herc to Kanye West. Look at the journey that hip hop has made.
Yes.
And Kool Herc is still alive, so it's in his lifetime.
Yes,
this has happened. It's just amazing. You know,
I think even more importantly, the local hip hop that happens outside America, like, because that's really communicates
that's
culture
global.
And
it's
what
global.
People go through globally. That's super important. The last thing I want to say is the comparison to Prince, right? Is that Sign of the Time was supposed to be a triple album, but somebody actually came to Minneapolis and said, hey, we got to cut some songs. Mm. Sign of the Times is an incredible piece of work and art, and it's an incredible album for me, probably my favorite Prince album. And I feel like this is Kanye's Sign of the Time. Mm. And Sign of the Time, when it came, was ahead of its time. He had rock songs, he had R&B songs, he actually rapped. You know, if you think about that song, Signs, you know, Prince really only did like a couple of songs into hip-hop, but Sign, that song Sign, was his first time when he kind of slowed it down and talked about HIV and talked about the world, the AIDS, the way the world, and crack, you know, very much of the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, there's stuff in here, this album, where obviously it's a healing album for Kanye and very personal, and it brings us into that layer of complexity that Kanye is touching on.
I'm not sure I agree with that healing, because it's also... the wounds are pretty open to me when you listen to the lyrics there, but you know, but that's also a step in that direction and so forth. But you know, just the fact that we're talking about it as so many people around the world are, it just again shows the impact of culture and this culture that means so much to so many of us, the culture that is hip hop. Salute to the gods. Salute Cool DJ Herc for starting this thing.
Yes.
This is a 50-year-old who's been like my fucking parent, you know, my North Star. So I just, you know, it just makes me happy, man. You know, and everything.
Absolutely.
Even when it's stuff that I don't like, I'm happy that that's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't. But that's good. We should have contradicting ideas. We don't have to really agree and like. And that's a beautiful thing about art. It should be complex. Yeah. We should have different opinions. We should learn how to argue. So with that, Jason, I gotta run.
Yo,
so
remember me as
the
plus
week.
One for the hip hop museum. All right,
Jason, you will never be a plus one. You will step in there by yourself.
Yeah,
so
man. Sweden's in the house. To be in there.
Yes. Love you.
Love you, brother. Peace.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.